Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. So as I mentioned earlier, and as I'm sure all of you know, it is Epiphany, a feast in the church, a celebration of light. The light comes into the darkness, the light to the nations. And who are the nations, if you will? If you want to divide the world into two groups of people, you can do it, you know? And one way to divide the world into two groups of people would be divide the world into people that are Jews and people that are not Jews, okay? And the Jewish people, and Jesus was a Jew, and Mary was a Jew, and Peter was a Jew, and Paul was a Jew, right? Matthew was a Jew, you get the point, all right? All of these characters in the scriptures, Joseph was a Jew. The shepherds were Jews. But today, some of the characters in the scriptures were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Now, who were the Jews? The Jews were the people that could trace their ancestry back to Abraham. Now, Abraham was chosen by God, and God was going to raise Abraham up and give him heirs and descendants, and those descendants would bring God's message and God's word to the world. That is the nation of Israel. And all of the other nations in the world were Gentiles, right? Now, the Jews, unfortunately, did not do such a good job of bringing God to the nations. Whenever they would try to intermix with the nations, instead of them bringing them holiness, the nations would corrupt Israel. And that was kind of the pattern that happened. So Jesus came to fix that. And St. Paul had a very difficult problem initially understanding the revelation of Jesus to the whole world. And we're going to read in his letter to the Ephesians him trying to explain this to people. And I quote from tonight's second reading, "You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit. Namely, that the mystery was made known by a revelation. That the Gentiles are the nations, the Gentiles are the non-Jews, okay? That the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, co-partners to the promise in Christ through the gospel." All right? So, now, for you and me, this news of God's revelation coming to the nations should be good news for us. Why? Because most of you out there Jews, or most of you all Gentiles? You're all Gentiles. I bet we might have one or two people of some Jewish extraction in here, but we're probably all Gentiles, okay? And so God brings his message to the Gentiles, and the first Gentiles to come are what we call the wise men. And the discovery of Jesus by the wise men. Now, who were these guys? Sometimes called the Magi. The Magi, the wise men, the three kings. They were men of science. They were men who studied the natural world. They sought the revelation of God in what they could see. And looking up at the stars, they had some understanding of the world. But they needed something more. What was it that was given to Paul to bring the good news of the gospel? Grace. And so the Gentiles, these kings, looking up at the stars, they were moved by God's grace to go in search of Jesus. Now this grace, in the church now we talk about grace with using different words. And what they got was what we call an actual grace. And an actual grace does, an actual grace makes us or gives us the push to act, to go do something, right? Now, if we have an actual grace given to us by God, are we always going to do it? Not necessarily. We can say no to those graces. We can roll over and hit the snooze button and say, forget it, okay? Even though God may be giving us a push, but these Gentiles, these three kings. They looked into the stars. They had some understanding that something momentous was happening. And they saw this kind of revelation, and then they had this push from God. And off they went in search. These astronomers, these men of science, these men who knew something, but they knew enough to know they didn't know everything. Now, the wise men, the magi, are like one bookend. The other bookend we talked about last week, and they were the shepherds, right? The shepherds were almost the exact opposite of these well-to-do men that had treasure, that had gold, that had the means to pick up and run off and go on this journey. The shepherds were simple laborers sleeping out with the animals. But the shepherds, they heard the voice of the angels, didn't they? And they followed and they found the Christ child. Now the wise men, they looked at nature and they knew there had to be more. They looked at the world around them and they saw the first book of God's revelation. What is the first book of God's revelation? The stars, the sea, the seasons, the order of the universe. And off they went on their quest. And did it take them all the way to Jesus? Did they get all the way to Jesus? Or they had to make a stop first, didn't they? It got them to Jerusalem, but then what did they need? They had natural revelation, and then they needed the word. They needed the scribes. They needed that understanding of the Old Testament to lead them to Jesus. So from Jerusalem, they were directed to Bethlehem, and off they went to Bethlehem. So what about these wise men? They had to be men of courage. You can imagine them. They came from the east. They came from many miles away. It was a long journey. You can just imagine them getting together, talking about around the water cooler and saying, hey, you know, what are you going to do? Let's go. And their friends saying, where are you going? What are you doing? And their wives, I can imagine what their wives said. What kind of crazy wild goose? What do you need all that gold for? Where are you going again? But off they went. Off they went in search. And there was no Motel 6 along the way, was there? No, it was a difficult journey. But they responded to the grace of God. And off they went on their quest. Men of science, but they wanted something more. They had a restless heart. Do you have a restless heart? One of my favorite lines by St. Augustine that I'm absolutely sure I've quoted to you all before. Some of you could quote it to me. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And so these men, these wise men, looking at the world around them, spurred by God's grace, off on the quest for Jesus, courageous and humble, but wise still with their restless heart. Now, what do we do? What are you doing with your restless heart? I mean, we all, in a sense, have a restless heart, but we can choose, how do we respond to that restless heart? What are we seeking to quiet that restless heart with? And the world has many antidotes to the restless hearts, but most of them seek to numb it, to turn it off, to push it away. But we have to have a restless heart that takes us as it took the wise men to Jesus. And so the wise men follow the star, the wise men follow nature, the wise men follow the guidance of the revelation of the world, and they get to the scriptures, and the scriptures lead them to the truth. And they come before Jesus. And what do? They lay their treasures before him. And what are their treasures? Gold for the king. Frankincense for the priest. Gold is a royal gift. Frankincense for Jesus' priesthood. Jesus is both king and priest. But one more gift, and what is the gift? What's the third gift? Myrrh. And what is the myrrh for? For his burial. The myrrh is the oil that they will anoint a dead person with for their burial. And so even here in the crib, even here in the crib, we look forward to Jesus who has taken on this body to have that body nailed to the cross for your sins and for mine. And so these wise men come before Christ. But they were men who were seeking. What are you seeking? Remember those graces that we can respond to or not respond to? That we can hit the snooze button and roll over and kind of say, somebody else can find Jesus. Let me just leave me alone, okay? No, we all have to be on this quest. We all have to be seeking. We all have to be knocking with all that we have to lay our treasure before God, to lay our life before God. And if we don't do that, we won't have that epiphany. You know, our lives should be a series of epiphanies. Not just one time are we converted. Not just one time do we come to an understanding of Christ. But over and over again in our lives, we should have a new insight, a better understanding, a deeper dive into the grace of Almighty God, to be stripped of the things of the world and give ourselves more fully as these wise men did, laying their treasures before Christ. I'm going to give you a little quote, actually a bit of a long quote from one of my favorite books. One of my favorite books, it's called The Imitation of Christ, okay? And it was written a few hundred years ago by a guy named Thomas A Kempis. And Thomas A Kempis wrote this book, and it's a dialogue between him and Jesus as God has revealed himself. And he writes this sort of diary of his spiritual life. And so allow me to read to you the words of Christ as Thomas A Kempis understood them in his prayer. The voice of Christ, "My child, renounce yourself and you shall find me. Give up your self-will, your possessions, and you will have gain. For once you resign yourself irrevocably, greater grace will be given to you." He responds, "How often shall I resign myself, and in what shall I forsake myself?" "Always," Jesus responds, "and at every hour, in small matters and in great, I exclude nothing. In all things, I wish you to be stripped of yourself. How otherwise will you be mine or I yours, unless you are despoiled of your own will inwardly and outwardly? The sooner you do this, the better. The more fully and more sincerely, the more you will please me and the greater gain you will have. Some there are who resign themselves, but with certain reservations, and they do not trust fully in God. Therefore, they try to provide for themselves. Others, again, at first offer all, but afterward they are assailed by temptations and return to what they have renounced, thereby making no progress in virtue. These will not reach the true liberty of a pure heart, nor the grace of a happy friendship with me, unless they first make a full resignation and a daily sacrifice of themselves. Without this, there will be no fruitful union. I have said to you often, and I now say again, forsake yourself, renounce yourself, and you shall enjoy inward peace. Give all, ask nothing, demand nothing in return. Trust purely, trust without hesitation in me, and you shall possess me, and I will free your heart of darkness. Strive for this, pray for this, desire this, to be stripped of selfishness, to be naked, to follow the naked Jesus, to die to yourself and live forever for me, that all vain imaginations, all wicked disturbances, all external cares will vanish. Then all fear will leave you, and inordinate love will die, and you will love me. my brothers and sisters, we have to be on our way with the wise men, seeking Christ to lay our treasure before him, that he will be our treasure, our epiphany.